Welcome to Afternoon Jams 98.5 special edition. We're live on Facebook and live on 98.5. As our commitment to the community to be informed voters. Our special guest today is Andrew Darlin, attorney Andrew Darlin, who is running for sheriff here in Orange County. How are you doing today, Andrew?
PA, man, I'm good, man. I'm good. It's been a few months, man, since we've had a chance to talk.
I know. You've been on the grind, man.
Working hard.
You are running as the reform candidate.
Yes, sir.
Tell us, what is the reform candidate? What do you stand for?
So at this time in our country right now, we need somebody from the outside of law enforcement to come in and actually change policy and change the culture of policing. We're not going to get that from somebody who's been part of law enforcement for 30 years as part of their career. So I am the outsider. I am the person that's going to come in and build trust in the communities and bring the currently separated community and law enforcement back together just into community. But I'm excited, man. There's a whole bunch of policies and whatnot that we're going to put forward, and we're going to get moving. We got a week left until we shock the world.
Of course, you have a movement going on. I've seen some people, you know, on the ground and the streets really out there working for you, man. What about you is resonating with the streets?
So I'm from here. Like, make no mistake. Like, it's hard to characterize it as saying I'm from the streets, but like, where I grew up, like, I'm not supposed to be where I'm at right now. Right. Like, I'm not supposed to be an attorney. Like, I'm a teenage parent. My daughter just went to college last week. So, wow. I mean, to get to where I am right now, like, that resonates with people. And I don't forget where I'm from. I'll never forget where I'm from. And for a lot of people here, that matters.
Talk about where you're from, man, to folks who don't know.
Yeah, so I grew up here. I went to Oak Ridge High School. I grew up really all over the county when I was younger. I used to live over off of Cimarron. But, you know, as I got into my more formative years, I live near right across the street from Oak Ridge High School. And I live near like Lancaster and Weingard, right in that area. And then I lived over on OBT and Americana for a couple years before I joined the Army. So when I tell people, like, I'm from here, and I spent a lot of time in Richmond Heights, in Carver Shores, over near Lake Man, in Washington Shores, like, I spent time over there growing up because that's where my friends live. Those were the folks that I was hanging out with, and most of them are still my really good friends to this day.
Let's talk about your policy, reform policy. Mm-hmm. What are some of the policies that you can do as a sheriff on day one?
Day one is I want my civilian review board to have subpoena power. So I am going to have a civilian review board in position. And the first instance where we have something where there's been a complaint against the deputy, my civilian review board is going to issue that subpoena. And when the deputy refuses to show up, because that's what the current state law says here in the state of Florida, I am going to fundamentally shift the position of the sheriff's office. The old position and what is the controlling case law in the state of Florida is that the sheriff's office was on the side of the deputy and said the deputy didn't have to come because they couldn't be subpoenaed. I'm going to change that, and I'm going to be on the side of the civilian review board. I'm going to be on the side of the community and try to get that law changed here in Florida. Some of my other policies include changing the role of my school resource officers. They need to be part of the fabric of these schools. As such, they need to dress as if they are in a school. They need to be in khakis. They need to be in a polo shirt that is has, you know, big SRO letters on it. It has the school colors, all the things that you would want from a professional in that environment. My school resource officers are not going to be an extension of the Orange County Public Schools disciplinary program. They are going to be there to protect kids because they're required by law. They're going to be there in the worst case scenario. But if the school determines that they need to actually call law enforcement and have a child arrested, if there was something so severe that got to that point, then they're going to need to call the sheriff's office directly and send another deputy out. Because if we're going to actually have trust in our schools and our young people are going to trust our school resource officers and share with them information that will allow them to prevent some of the tragic events that have happened at schools, they got to trust them. And they're not going to be able to trust a school resource officer if that's the officer that's arresting them when they get in trouble at school.
Andrew Darlin, running for sheriff here in Orange County, the reform candidate. You haven't been in law enforcement, have you?
Yeah, I have not, which is, I think, one of my greatest strengths. So I spent 7.5 years in the military. I've been to combat in Iraq twice. I understand the tactics, techniques, and procedures that these deputies go through. I've actually had a conversation recently, and I actually may go through at least part of the academy in the time leading up to when I swear in December.
Okay.
Of course, you know, when I win next week, then I'll get to make that decision.
You're confident. You're very confident.
I am. I feel good. I mean, here's the thing. There's never been a better time for somebody from outside of law enforcement. And here's the thing. If you were going to ask somebody who's never been law enforcement to run for this office and somebody that people could trust, what would you want their skill set to be? You'd want them to be a military veteran. You would want them to have to have made these tough shoot or don't shoot decisions in their life. And you'd want them to be an expert in the law. As an Army veteran, as a combat veteran, and as an attorney, I check all of those blocks. I'm ready to get out here and do the work that the community's been asking for decades and actually come in and have real reforms, build trust in the community. And here's the thing that a lot of people miss. It's going to make the job of the deputies safer. And that's what they want. They want to be able to go home at night. And my policies are going to allow them to do that.
Well, what's your record been like as an attorney?
So when I was at the public defender's office, I was only there for 7 months. I had over 40 cases set for trial. I only got to go to trial twice. One of them I got dismissed before I even had to put on my case. It's called a judgment of acquittal. It's essentially the first, as soon as the state closes their case, every defense attorney asks for it. Most of the time it's not granted, but ours was granted for a judgment of acquittal. And then the second one was a terrible case. It was a petty theft case. We lost that case, but the client ended up getting a better outcome than what the offer was from the state attorney. So my supervisor said that's a win when you can get a better outcome than what was offered initially. But listen, I've had some time now in private practice. I represented nearly 20 of the peaceful protesters, the Black Lives Matter protesters. I represented them pro bono, and all of those cases ended up getting dismissed. So listen, I'd love to take a lot more credit for that, but most of the cases ended up getting dismissed.
Well, there is a defund police movement going across America. Mm-hmm. Seattle just voted recently to defund the police. I think they're taking some millions out of the department and going to move those dollars over to, I guess, proactive approach to mental health and resources mm-hmm. for the community. What is your opinion on defunding the police?
Yeah, so defunding the police means to completely and holistically relook at every single part of policing. Are we doing the right things? So for me, I have made a commitment to hire 10 mental health professionals, social workers, and addiction specialists, a combination of those, at least 10 of them before I hire 10 more deputies. And the reason is a lot of times when you have a deputy who responds to a call, you have a hammer, and to a hammer, everything is a nail. We need to make sure that we're sending the best tools to address certain situations. And if you have somebody that's in mental health crisis, a deputy is just not the best person to respond. A deputy should absolutely go with our mental health professionals, but our mental health professionals need to be the ones that are initiating that contact, having that conversation, and being the trained professional in that arena. And the deputy needs to be there to support and make sure that we maintain the peace. We can't call deputies for everything. Right now, we ask deputies, to be social workers, to be mental health professionals, to be addiction specialists, and they're just not. And that's why a lot of times we end up in situations where deputies are in over their head, and it's not even their fault. We are setting them up for failure. And the Defund the Police movement is a movement to make sure we're at least having these conversations, to make sure we're sending the right tool to these instances, to make sure that we can actually keep the community safe. Because something that folks don't talk about either is even if somebody is guilty or even if somebody has committed a crime, law enforcement isn't supposed to kill guilty people either, right? That's one of these things that we don't really talk about. But we need to make sure that we're sending the right folks there, and we need to make sure that law enforcement is put in a situation where they can make the community safer and not put in a situation where they end up being the scapegoat and people can't trust their law enforcement.
Andrew Darling, can you hear me now?
Yes, I got you.
Live on Facebook, live on 98.5. If you got a question for him, please, you can go to our Facebook page, make a comment. If you got a question, leave it there, and we'll make sure we ask you that question. Yesterday, we had Joe Lopez on radio. He mentioned about gang violence in Pine Hills. Mm-hmm. that there are rival gangs in Pine Hills, or two rival gangs in Pine Hills behind some of the most recent shootings. Your comments on that, and can the sheriff department do anything to decrease that violence?
Yeah, so listen, I've had some great conversations with Joe. I mean, I like Joe a lot. We have, you know, seen each other a bunch on these forums and whatnot. And I think Joe understands what some of the underlying issues are. The issue that I have with the way that we've always policed is that we're still in the same spot we've always been in. So we need somebody who has the credibility to go in these communities, to actually sit down and talk to community leaders. And if we have to, we need to go in and sit down and have a conversation with these rival factions. Because here's the thing, we can go in and we can actually do a good investigation. We can develop probable cause. We can make arrests. We can even get to conviction from the state attorney's office. None of that changes anything if we don't get to the underlying heart of the problem. If we don't get to the social issues of the problem, if we're not giving young people a better opportunity than what they have right now, if we're not giving young people another example of something else to do with their time than to be involved in gang behavior, then that's on us. And we need to do better. Yes, these young people are going to need to take some responsibility for their actions, but it's on us as leadership in the community. If we don't go in there and figure out what the problems are and go in there and work with the community to fix them, just showing up and knocking heads is not going to do it. That's not going to solve the problem. I believe I have the relationships in the community, and I believe I have the relationships with enough people to get close to these folks to have a conversation and figure out what the real issues are. Because at the end of the day, when you take somebody's life, like, there's no getting that back. There's not. And I know, you know, when I was younger, like, I knew all the folks that had guns. I knew all the folks that were in gangs. But you know what? Sometimes if folks would have had a conversation, if folks would have stepped back and took a few minutes to sit down, law enforcement or not, to sit down with these young people and have conversations, we can save a lot of lives. You don't have to go to that sort of, you know, stereotypical police approach every single time. We need to keep the community safe, right? There's no way around that. We have to keep the community safe. In order to do that, we're not exercising every tool that we have in our bag. And it shows. It shows with our murder rate continuing to go up.
What do you think is the solution to reducing crime? And let me get this right. Pine Hills crime is down. Mm-hmm. It's just some of the violent crimes is up.
Yeah. So the you have to incentivize proper behavior. And if you don't have a relationship in the community, that doesn't necessarily mean money, right? Like, incentivizing can be you get into a community and you work with the stakeholders in that community. So not just, you know, your senior citizens, not just the people who have organizations, but people who live there and work there, and you have a conversation with them. There's a great book. Let me figure out what the title of it is. It's by Professor David Kennedy. And I've read it a few times now, but it's a phenomenal book, and it's called Don't Shoot. And it talks about several major cities here in the country where this very, very focused effort has went in. And because most of the violence is done by a very, very small handful of people, there's not a lot of people who are shooters, right? There's a lot of people who are involved in the gang,
right?
But very few of them are shooters.
Right.
And we need to make sure that we are being so precise and that our precision is just down to the person. And make no mistakes, people on the street know who these people are.
Right.
And if you put enough resources behind the right programs, if you support the right organizations, you can get to these people and give them an opportunity to get out of that life.
Well, this next question is coming from the Pine Hills Partnership with Jay, JSL. If you're elected, what attributes will the members of your leadership team have to possess? Will they have law enforcement background?
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean, my undersheriff, I fully intend for my undersheriff, whomever that may be, and I have not made a decision about that yet, to be a career law enforcement officer. Because as somebody who's not coming from the inside of law enforcement, which I believe is, like I've said earlier, one of my greater strengths, I need to have somebody there who's going to be able to sort of close that gap for me. I'm going to learn really quickly. I'm going to learn the lingo. I'm going to understand the incredibly important aspects of policing. I'm going to go through the training. I'm going to understand the training. We're going to develop new training programs. But there's going to be blind spots that I'm going to need my undersheriff to just fill in. Like, that's a reality of it. So, yes, my undersheriff is going to be a career law enforcement officer. My senior staff is going to be a mixture. So I want people who are going to come in from the outside of Orange County, who are going to come in as criminal justice reform advocates. I want people who are part of the returning citizens, the formerly incarcerated. I want them on my staff. I want all kinds of people on my staff because, listen, diversity is strength.
Right.
Diversity of leadership is strength. And we're going to have a very diverse, you know, men, women, members of our LGBTQ community. We're going to have a lot of members to include law enforcement and even a couple additional attorneys. We need to make sure that we have a full diversity of opinion so that when we put these policies in place, we not only make it safer for the communities, but we make it so the deputies can actually implement these policies.
So you're committed to having someone who has been in trouble with the law of being part of your leadership team.
Yeah, as part of my, you know, you figure you have your seven district commanders at six right now, but your seven district, it'll be seven districts or sectors. It'll be your undersheriff. And then you're going to have sort of a command and staff because you're going to have your training people. You're going to have your personnel people, your finance people. I mean, we're talking about almost a $270 million budget. So there's going to be a leadership team. And I need somebody on that leadership team who is a returning citizen, somebody who has been in trouble with the law before. Because listen, we make all these decisions in law enforcement so often, and we don't ever talk about what we got wrong. We don't ever talk about where we made a mistake. And if we're not willing to actually give somebody the opportunity to come back and be a full member of society and participate fully in society, then we are full of crap as a profession. If we really believe, right, that once you serve your time, you get to come back and be part of a regular member of society, then we need to set that example. And my office will do that.
Attorney Andrew Darling is running for sheriff here in Orange County. A couple weeks ago, State Attorney Irma Ayala released her dirty cop list.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the Brady list. Some of those officers are still working. Some have moved on. If you are elected sheriff, will you allow those officers to continue to patrol Orange County?
Not for the sheriff's office. If you are on a Brady list, first thing I want to do, of course, is I want to see the Brady list. My assumption is that the state attorney has already let the leaders of those organizations know prior to that individual being placed on the list. But if you're on that list, that means that I cannot trust you to be called in court. That means that I cannot trust what you say. And that means you can't do your job. If you can't be a witness in court, what is your purpose as a deputy? You don't have a place at my sheriff's office. If you can't be trustworthy in court, I surely can't put you in schools. I surely can't put you in charge of any investigations if you can't be trusted. Like, where would I put you? Like, if you can't do your job, you can't be a member of the sheriff's office.
There you go. Just like that. If you got a question or comment, you go on our Facebook page, The Wire 98.5. Andrew Darling, if they want to join your campaign, they want to be a part of the movement, we got a week left.
Yes, sir.
Early voting is going on right now. And next week, Election Day, how can they join the movement?
So first, you can go to andrewdarling.com. You can either chip in. We have like two more days of donating. The 13th at midnight is the cutoff. There's a volunteer tab on my page. Like I said, it's just andrewdarling.com. It's super easy. And then also, you can find me on all the social medias at Reform Sheriff. It's funny that last year when I got in this race, Reform Sheriff was still available for everything in 2019.
Really? It's gone now, I'm sure.
Oh, it's gone. I got the domain. I got the Twitter, the Instagram. I got all the things.
They're going to be trying to buy that from you.
They will. They're going to buy it. It may be for sale. We'll let them know.
Right. This is from another question from Pine Hills Partnership, collaboration with Pine Hills Talk. What do you expect the Orange County Sheriff Office relationship with the local unions who recently renounced their support of the incumbent sheriff to be like? How do you address low morale among deputies at the Orange County Sheriff Office as a reform sheriff?
Yeah. So the relationship with the union is that we don't have to have a relationship with the union. There is nothing that says I'm required to negotiate with the police union. I'm not. As a chief of police, I might have been, but not as the sheriff. There's no obligation for me to negotiate with the police union. And there is also nothing that says, and nowhere that I've heard anybody even question, that I'm going to do what's right for the 2,500 employees at the sheriff's office. I don't need a union to tell me that. And I support unions. So wholeheartedly, like the SEIU is part of an organization that endorsed me, and they're one of the larger unions in the state. So I support unions, absolutely. But I support unions because they are normally fighting for the workers' share of profits. They're fighting for the workers, you know, better benefits, better pay. Who is a police union negotiating against?
Yeah. Yeah.
Community.
Yeah. Most of the time.
It's the community. So, I mean, there's a lot to be said there. I'm going to do right by officers. I'm going to do right by my deputies. Make sure that, you know, they have clear guidance. And here's the thing. If they have clear guidance and they follow that guidance, I am going to support them. Because if they follow the guidance and then something goes viral and they lose, you know, the public relations side of it, I don't care about that. If you followed my guidance and there's a problem, that's on me. That's not on the deputy, right? That's a policy. That's a leadership problem.
Right.
So for me, I'm going to set clear guidelines right away. We are going to make sure that the deputies understand where we stand and the direction we are going to head as an organization. And listen, if they don't feel comfortable, listen, I wish you the absolute best, but we're going to move in the direction that the community wants and the direction that I want. And, you know, if you don't want to be a part of that, I'm sorry. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Let's talk about endorsements. Just how many endorsements, some of the major endorsements you have received?
So I am always like just super impressed with individual endorsements, right? I mean, for somebody, particularly professionals, to, you know, stand up and endorse me in their personal capacity, like that means a lot to me. Locally here, attorney Natalie Jackson, who is a civil rights attorney, who was one of the Trayvon Martin family attorneys, she endorsed me. And then civil rights icon and attorney Ben Crump endorsed me. Those are some heavy hitters right there. And also from the activist front, you know, TJ Legacy Cole has endorsed me, as well as his Soapbox podcast. Miles Moran has endorsed me. Marquise has endorsed me.
Wow.
You got the streets behind you, man.
You got these guys on the ground, on the streets, man. They behind you. That's so impressive.
It was more important. Julian Serrano O'Neill, he endorsed me. I know these guys, and like the conversations that I have with them are not, okay, let's go get me elected, right?
Right.
These are the policy changes. Here's how we work towards them. And then it just so happens that I am running for sheriff, right? I care much more about this community than I do me winning, right?
Right.
Me winning is better for the community.
Right.
But it's not because it's better for me. It's because I care about Orange County. It's because I care about where I'm from.
You believe you're the better person for the job.
I believe I am the only candidate at this moment in time who can actually unite the community and bring law enforcement back into the fold instead of having that separation between community and law enforcement. I really believe that.
Well, it's major. You got TJ, Legacy, Miles Marine, and Marquise McKenzie, and along with attorney Natalie Jackson and attorney Ben Crump.
Yeah.
Those names, Orlando. So, no, those names are activists. They're busy 24/7.
Let me tell you some of the organizations too, because the organizations are also important.
Okay.
So I have also, there's a bunch of these. All right. So the Working Families Party has endorsed me. The local Rainbow Democrats, which is the LGBTQ group here in Orange County. The Florida LGBTQ plus Democratic Caucus has endorsed me. Young Democrats of Orange County, the Progressive Democrats of America Central Florida chapter. One of my favorite endorsements is the Democratic Haitian American Caucus of Florida. I love Haitian people, man. They're a phenomenal group of people.
Exactly.
hardworking, incredibly hardworking group of folks. And then recently, Organized Florida endorsed me. Organized Florida actually endorsed the incumbent back in 2018. So that's a movement away from the old school and into the new. And then today I also got the endorsement of PFAW, which is People for the American Way. And actually, I'll announce it here. I'm not going to post it till tomorrow. But Next Up Victory Fund also endorsed me today. And wow. I'm going to put all that stuff out tomorrow. So that's a brand new, you heard it here first.
Wow. Organized Florida. Now, they generally get behind their candidates and knock on doors for their candidates. Are they knocking on doors for you?
So I don't actually know the answer to that. And the reason I don't know the answer to that is because organizations and campaigns are not allowed to coordinate.
Exactly. So
they've made their endorsement. But listen, I fully support, you know, whatever help they want to give me on the ground, I fully support it.
I'm sure.
I can't know about it. So
right. Here's a question from Pine Hills Partnership and collaboration with Pine Hills Talk. Have you or will you be reaching out to Miss Dixon Daniels and Miss Cordelia Anthony and other local families that have been victimized in the past by the Orange County Sheriff's Office?
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I'm going to do next Tuesday night when the results come in and it turns out that I'm going to be the Democratic nominee for sheriff, because, you know, we can't forget we do actually have an election in November as well.
Right.
The sheriff does. Granted, it's against two write-ins. So, you know, listen, if I win the Democratic primary and lose to a write-in, I will never run for office again. Okay. But
right. And that's true. You shouldn't.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You're right. The seriousness of the question is absolutely. So I have a list that I've actually been sort of tracking over the last year or so of folks that I want to reach out to. And the reason I haven't done it as part of this campaign is because honestly, I just think it's gross, right? Like I don't like the utilizing the pain of others for political purposes, right? Uh-huh. I don't like that. It's gross. The young man that just lost his life the other day at the Florida Mall, his older cousin is a classmate of mine from high school, and I've had conversations with her recently. I actually talked to the Orlando Sentinel today. They had questions about, you know, how would a sheriff's office under my leadership respond to that type of incident? Right. But listen, I will have any conversation with these women that, you know, have been victims of incredible violence, and their families have been victims of incredible violence. And I mean, it's in order for us to change the culture, which is the hardest part of the job, is going to be changing the culture of law enforcement. The hardest part about that is being transparent with the community and with deputies. And if I'm going to do that, it's going to take me to reach out to these folks. And listen, make no mistake, it has nothing to do with who any of these individuals are supporting for sheriff. Like, I will never tell somebody that your vote is a wasted vote, ever.
Right.
Vote for who you believe in. Vote for who you believe the best candidate is going to be. I completely support that. And when all the dust is settled, when I am elected, come on, you are welcome to the table.
There you go. All right, man. Thank you so much. And where are you going to be at tomorrow? I mean, not next week, Tuesday, for the victory celebration.
Listen, I'm probably going to be at the house because we still social distancing and we are not going to get a room full of too many people. No, I think I'm going to throw some sort of Zoom party, hang out with folks. I'm sure my son will be here. I'm going to try and invite my daughter at least, because my daughter is now in college. She's in a bubble down in West Palm Beach playing sports. So
that's good.
It's exciting. I do see that last question. You want me to hit that real quick before?
Yeah. The Pine Hills Partnership, along with Pine Hills Talk. How do you ensure that the reform movement continues beyond election night?
So this is actually the most important question tonight, because a victory for me literally lights the reform movement up, right?
Right.
Because when I win next week, that means that I can spend 20, 30 days in Brevard County working for Alton Edmond to get elected as sheriff.
Okay.
It means that I can advocate really hard. Hopefully Monique Worrell becomes the state attorney here in Orange and Osceola. Mm-hmm. And the things that we can do when it comes to reform, these things are going to set off, like, we are going to be the trailblazers in this country, not just in the state, because what my election is going to do is we're going to put these policies in place. And in 6 months, we're going to have data. And once we have that data, every progressive mayor in the country is going to be able to appoint a progressive chief of police. Every other county that is tired of the same status quo, there should be a progressive candidate for sheriff in that county, because we're going to be the template. We're going to be the example to follow. That's how we keep this movement going. In the unlikely event that I am unsuccessful, I am going to continue this work in this movement. I'm going to continue it with my law firm. I will continue to support whomever the criminal justice reform movement people are, whether that's here in Orange County or elsewhere in our state. I'm going to continue to work really hard. I'm excited. I believe I'm going to win. I'm going to do this as sheriff. And like I said, the future of Orange County is bright. And I'm incredibly excited to lead the sheriff's office into the future.
Okay. The website and the telephone number for you?
Yes. It's andrewdarling.com or Reform Sheriff on all the social medias. If you guys want to reach me directly, it's actually, let me find this extra number. It's 407-881-1531, I believe. Let me make sure, because this will actually, you can actually get a hold of me. So I'll give you a phone number. It's 407-881-1531. That is my campaign phone. That'll ring directly to me. I will answer if folks have questions, if they're on the way to the poll and they don't know how to vote. The easiest way I can explain it is when you get your ballot and you see where it says sheriff, just go with the first name. The first name on there, Andrew Darling, Orange County Sheriff.
And the youngest, too, on the ballot, too.
Yeah. I am the youngest. So I'm excited, man. I am so ready to be the face of this movement, and I'm so excited for Orange County. I'm not just excited for myself. Yes, of course I'm excited for myself. I want the opportunity to lead this county forward to reform the criminal justice system from its very foundation. But I'm excited for Orange County, and I'm ready to go ahead and do this next Tuesday.
Love the energy, man. Keep it up, brother. Keep it up.
I appreciate it.
All right, family. Thank you. It's Andrew Darling for Orange County Sheriff, the website, andrewdarling.com. And going back into more programming, Old Town's very own, DJ 100 Grand, 6 o'clock mix coming up next. Take care, Attorney Andrew Darling.
Thank you so much.